Hello and welcome to Taking Your Talent to Main Street, the online business session of Gain Mindshare, where we discuss success strategies for a new economy. If you want to find out more, of course, you can visit us at our website at gainmindshare.com. Now, without further ado, let's get started.
Well, hello, everyone. Welcome back. And as you know, I'm Charles Harper, and today I'm going to be joined by Dr. Nora Feminia. And she is really going to help us today with communication and really connecting. And she is an expert in communication and in passive aggressive behavior. And she really helps people both in the workplace and primarily in the home in helping people to learn how to listen, learn how to hear each other. She is the author of several books, and you can find them on Amazon. We'll tell you a little bit more about where you can get them here at the end of the interview. Dr. Nora, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for calling me.
You know, one of the things that I know a lot of people really are concerned with in this time where we're really busy, when it comes to family, we're sort of like two ships passing in the night sometimes, and some of us, at times, we are lacking in communication. And so when it comes to these areas of being heard, you know, where we really feel like, okay, is that other person at home really hearing us? Why do you think these things happen? You know, is it because we're busy, or is it because we just don't really have a handle on how to do these kind of things right?
This is such an interesting field. You know, I keep thinking and working in it because I think it's a bit the basic stuff that we are made of. Let me go step by step. First, when we are born, we are attached to our mothers. If we don't have a mother there, we don't survive. So if you have a good mother, or you win the lottery of the good mother, you're going to have a person that is there and that focuses her attention on you and tries to decipher what do you need. Are you thirsty? Do you want to sleep? Do you want cuddle? And then this exercise develops empathy in the two. For the child, is survival. If you don't have that there, if you survive, you're going to be missing always the sense that you can trust another person to be there for you. So after that, when we enter into relationships, few people talk about that. We all humans have human needs, and those needs are solved in relationships. As you know, I'm an immigrant here. I'm coming from a culture that is more community-based, from a Latin country. And the emphasis that this culture has in you are an individual and you need to manage yourself and you have to pull yourself by your bootstraps and go along and do your thing is forgetting to tell people that you need to build bridges with other people, because otherwise, where is the affection? Where is the support? So we are walking around in the world trying to do our thing, but this gap inside us, who is going to be there with me to tell me that I'm a good person, to support me, to give me respect, to appreciate what I'm doing, is always an insecure equation. We don't know, and we don't build up that connection, and we don't know how to. So kids don't know, for instance, that empathy is a good thing, or that showing respect, or that showing that you are there for your friends is a strong value, because it means that there will be people for you afterwards. Everything that has to do with let's pull in this together, sometimes it's declamated, but it's not experienced. We don't have a strong experience of trusting that someone else will be helping me when I need. So that gets us really panicky. And people decide not to invest in relationships. And you have them done when there is a conflict. It's cheaper to turn your back, not to answer, not to hear
Dr. Nora,
other person's pain. Yeah.
So how do we, I guess there are a couple of questions is, you know, again, a lot of us, you know, we're really busy. And so when you have a lot going on, how do you make those investments so that when it comes to those conflicts, you really have enough capital to kind of deal with that person. I guess that's my initial question, because I think that's what a lot of people are really wrestling with, is how do I find time to make those investments, and how do I take the limited time that I have to, on a daily basis, make good investments in that person that I'm kind of in this relationship with?
You put that in a very, very beautiful way, because it's the battle that we are all are in. We are always trying to say, okay, I have a job to do, I have a little time, but then what are your priorities? If you want to have a family that really loves you, you need to find the time to be there. And it's a question of balancing, but also of priorities. Some people are so desperate to go ahead in their work, or sometimes for economic reasons cannot do any better, that they spend all their lives abandoning family, physically, emotionally abandonment. So when they go back and when they need something, there is nobody there connected with them. Children can say, oh, my parents, they never knew me, so I can slam the door. And what I'm looking at is this phenomenon, a very American phenomenon, of family alienation, where the children say, I decide by myself and I will cut the tie with my parents because I don't need them anymore, or because they're bothering me, or because I don't feel I owe them anything. It's terrible. But the child has to be there and has to feel the daddy, even working hard, goes back to the house and hugs and kisses and talks and asks questions from the child. How was your day? How was the school? What are your friends? Showing this a personal interest.
So do you think it's important that, you know, these expressions, do they need to be physical? In other words, you know, you mentioned hugs. Is there something, or is it a matter of having, you know, discussion? Because, you know, again...
No. You don't cover it with discussions. We can imagine that explaining things to kids as how life works is enough. But remember the attachment? The attachment has a body. We need to feel in our bones that the person wants to hug us, wants to touch us, wants to be concerned about our tears. Someone has to be done there in that department of physical contact to send the message, I'm here and I do care for you. Words alone, especially when you are too small, before 10, I would say, don't cut it.
When someone says to me, they say, when someone says, you know, Charles, I don't think you're listening, or I don't think you're hearing me, what are they saying to me? Are they saying that they want me to stop what I'm doing, or are they saying that I just don't understand? Because sometimes, you know, those messages, they're coded, someone's trying to communicate something else. So when someone says, typically, I don't think you're hearing me, typically, what do they say?
Exactly that. You don't know me. I'm living my life inside me, and there is this gap between my expression and your ear. They are saying you don't have the skills to sit with me and hear me through whatever I have to say. It's like the bantering in the street. How are you? Oh, okay. And you? Oh, okay. That's it. But the real question is, okay, do you want to really to hear about my situation? Can I trust that you want to hear about me? Do you have 10 minutes to spend on me? But that is life-giving. If we don't have friends and family that does that for us, and now the science is very clear, there are physical consequences. People have more sickness, they die of heart problems or cancer, or have psychosomatic illnesses, because this lack of a connection with a loving network that supports us. There is a connection, so it's not cheap, it's not free that we ignore the connection with other people, even when it's painful. And I am the first person in the world to say, I'm concerned about men not developing the skills to really listen, because when they are confronted with the conflict that the wife is presenting, they don't know how to sit down and say, okay, tell me. And tell me in several ways so I can get it. And I have this wish to turn my back and run away and do something to fix the car, but I will stay put here and I will try to listen to you. Yeah.
Right, yeah. So now, when I think about this, I know that I think about the workplace, I think about at home, and one of the things that impacts this is that, you know, again, I come back to the beginning of what we talked about at the beginning of the call, which is you have 24 hours in a day, you have 10,000 things to do.
Don't give me that piece that you don't have time. You need to have a different attitude. The attitude is, yes, I have very little time, but the time I have at home, I will make it count. I will say to my wife, and I put my hand on her arm and say, talk to me, and I need to talk to you, and we need to do something together. And then you run to your job, and you do the 12 hours, and you come back, and then you keep saying, but let's now sit down for 10 minutes and connect. That is the attitude.
So help us. Now, that really helps. That's something really practical. And a lot of the people I know that are going to be listening to me, they're probably going to be guys. So give us one other really practical thing. You know, a lot of us, we've got wives, we've got girlfriends, significant others. So right now, I want you to help the guys in the audience to do something really practical tomorrow to let that person know that we hear them, that we are listening, and that we can really make the most of the time, as you say.
Well, if you have the courage to do this, I would say they can tell their wife, we don't have time in all the week, but what about in Saturday morning we go for a walk and we can talk about the issues we have? So you plan for a time when you're going to be talking. And you offer your willingness to open up. You don't say, oh, bother me with this stupid concept. No, you say, we need to talk, and I'm willing to have this time. Or if you want to begin tonight, you can go home and say, okay, how was your day? And you sit in the kitchen, and you say, tell me more. I even prepare a list of phrases, and it's funny because when I have clients, I say, you print this list, and when you're driving in the car, you practice. So when you have the opportunity, those phrases are going to come up from your mouth spontaneously. Like, okay, I understand. Like, tell me more. Like, how do you feel about what happened to you? See? So knowing the phrases, sometimes it's ridiculous, the feeling, because they say, it looks weird, or it sounds artificial. At the beginning, yes. But if you try to say two or three or five of those phrases, those are door openers. And then she will be not so upset. She will see the good intention. And then a conversation can happen.
So these things really do have to be intentional. Is that what you're saying?
Uh-huh. Again, nothing is free. Nothing happens by itself. You have to. It's a choice. Either you block yourself and say, I'm not going to see the pain of my wife, and you do passive aggression, that is not only the cold shoulder of not talking with her, not asking what's wrong, nothing, but going your merry way as always and thinking, oh, it will pass. No, it's not only that. It's that you are open to the possibility of sharing the experience with her. Tell me, how is on your side? Oh, I feel abandoned when you go to see or to do sport all the weekend. Okay, well, I feel that I need my friends, but also need you to be happy, and what can we do? That kind of opening needs to happen. Otherwise, what I find is women that after 20, 25, 30 years, they finally discover that this situation has a name. They say, oh, my husband has been doing passive aggression all our married life. And now what do I do? And the guy has to be retrained to say those phrases and to stay put and listen with compassion to whatever she has to say. And then say, I understand.
No, that's very good. Dr. Nora, where can we get some resources and some help for some of these things?
Well, in the list of books, I have one book that is about fighting fair. How would you fight fair in a fair way when you have a difference with your wife or your loved one, but you want to show that you want to bridge the difference with love and respect? So the book is something like Learn How to Fight Fair in Your Marriage. It's in the list of books that I gave to you. The other product that I would like to mention here is a program that we developed recently about how to deal with passive aggression, because passive aggression is so insidious. You can be doing it day after day after day, and finally you find that you are living with a stranger, you don't know that person anymore, and then you begin to resent and to do negative things against that person, and all the trust and love gets destroyed. So we have this new book about how to deal with passive aggression, and you have the link to that.
This is really good, because I know that a lot of the folks that are listening in my audience, and probably even in your audience, they're you know, entrepreneurs, they're marketers, and these days, you know, it takes a lot of time to put in. But at the same time, though, you know, none of us want to look up in 5 or 10 years and look at the person that's been supporting us, the person that's been right next to us, and then figure out, well, you know, we don't know them, they don't know us, and we want to be able to have that person, you know, kind of sharing in our success and to share life with. So this has really been good, and I really appreciate it. Tell us where your website is and where we can get more information from you.
Oh, I have a website that is called passiveaggressivehusband.com.
Yeah, great. Okay, everybody. So you're going to see a link there on my site, where you can get more information about Dr. Nora's books. Certainly you want to head on over to her website that you'll get on this call. And at some point, we'd like to have Dr. Nora back, because, again, it's very important, you know, that we not only, you know, do the things that we need to do to put the 10,000 hours in to make the business work, but we also have to have those people around us that are going to be sharing in our success. So, you know, Dr. Nora, I really appreciate you being here. You've been an awesome guest, really giving us some good help, and especially for us guys in the audience, you've really given us some practical things that we can go and do tonight.
Yes.
Tonight.
Yeah, and let me, I don't want to come across as saying, okay, men are bad. I'm saying men are so busy trying to make a living that they are not taking care of the back end, that is, keep the family happy together. And even when it takes a lot of extra conscious effort, you need to do that, because otherwise you're going to make a life, and when you are older, you're going to be alone. The love is gone, there is no family there is no intimacy. So it's so silly that you can do little things now that can guarantee that you have a happy life at home. So everything makes sense. You're making a living, but also you're having a happy home.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yes. Dr. Nora, thank you so much for being here. Everybody, this has been Dr. Nora Femenia, and my name again is Charles Harper, and I certainly appreciate you all being here. Look forward to seeing you again on tomorrow, where we'll be sharing more with tips that will help you in your business and in your life. Thanks very much, everybody. Have a great day and a pleasant tomorrow. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. If you need more help with your online business, join me at my YouTube channel at youtube.com/gainmindshare, or join me on Facebook at facebook.com/gainmindshare. Lastly, you can always join me on my weekly webinar call, where I answer your questions about building your business online. You can join me there at gainmindshare.com www.gainmindchair.com/training call. Thanks, and I look forward to seeing you either on another show or in one of our webinar calls.